This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Broadband Over Powerline World. We're about to speak to Dave Sumner, who's the CEO of the ARRL. Welcome back to Broadband Over Powerline World.
Thank you, Mark.
We haven't spoken in a while. I'm calling to mainly get an update from you on filings and regulations and proceedings regarding interference by BPL of ham radio operations. What can you tell our listeners on these subjects?
Well, the main focus right now in the first part of March is on petitions for reconsideration that have been filed with the FCC.
Okay.
Requesting reconsideration of various aspects of the Commission's report and order that released the new rules that would apply to BPL.
Okay. When was the deadline for the filing of those
The deadline for the petitions for reconsideration was February 7th.
Okay.
And many of them were put on public notice on February 28th by the Commission, which started the clock for 15 days for oppositions to be filed.
Now, let's take it back a little further to last year. What were the principal orders that they did issue in 2004 at the FCC that these were comments about and requests to reconsider?
Well, the Commission made a number of decisions about BPL, decided to apply new, tighter regulations with regard to the radiated emissions.
Right.
And established procedures for measurement so that there would be more consistency in how people measure the emissions.
Was there kind of a trade-off that they said we're going to apply these stricter standards and then we're going to go gung-ho to support BPL?
Well, certainly one of the reasons that the Commission was anxious to adopt the regulations was to try to remove uncertainty from the marketplace.
Okay.
I think that's a fair comment.
And do you think they did?
Well, I think that until this round of reconsideration petitions is dealt with, I think there's still a great deal of uncertainty because some of the decisions that the Commission made are a little difficult to understand from a technical standpoint.
Okay.
But of course, I'm expressing a point of view in saying that.
Right.
Sure others would not agree with me.
Okay. What can you say about the role of outgoing Chairman Michael Powell in the formulation of the rules last year? And in the movement of FCC to be supportive of BPL?
Well, our perception of Chairman Powell's involvement in this is that he was a cheerleader for introducing BPL. And since he used that word, we didn't invent the word cheerleader to apply in this
right.
case. He used it himself.
Did you feel that was an appropriate use of his office, or is he supposed to be a more of a referee than a cheerleader on the playing field of BPL?
Well, that's certainly our view. We understand the Commission's obligation to promote new technologies. There's no question about that.
Right.
The question is whether BPL is in fact a new technology or simply an application of existing technology in a way that pollutes the radio spectrum.
Okay, so those recommendations those orders were issued last year, and by February 7th you'd filed some recommendations to reconsider them. What were the principal elements that you asked to be reconsidered, and in what direction did you want them to go?
Well, our principal concern remains the fact that the Commission claims that the probability of interference from BPL is low, and yet their own technical studies, if viewed fairly, would lead you to exactly the opposite conclusion, that if BPL is allowed to operate at the regulatory limit in Part 15, interference is essentially guaranteed anywhere between 200 and 400 meters from a power line, depending on the frequency of operation.
Right.
Now, many BPL systems are not planning to operate at the FCC limit over the entire frequency range. They realize that if they do that, they're in for big trouble. And so they're voluntarily putting in notches and doing other things that will reduce the interference potential. We're still concerned that won't do it quite enough, and we're particularly concerned that the commission isn't requiring that, but this is simply something that's being done as a matter of good business and engineering practice by companies, but not all companies are following that approach, unfortunately.
Okay. Could you summarize what it is that your filings call for?
Well, we think that there needs to be a significantly lower limit on emissions from BPL.
Specifically, what's the limit now, and what limit did you ask for?
In order to bring the probability of interference down to something that could reasonably be dealt with on a case-by-case basis, it would have to be reduced by somewhere between 30 and 40 decibels below what it is right now.
What is it right now?
Well, that's technical. It depends on the frequency. It depends on the distance.
Could you give a proportional?
I really can't quote it to you.
Could you say something about the proportion of what the interference is that you think needs to be eliminated? In other words, by do they have to cut the levels by half or two-thirds?
By between 30 and 40 decibels.
Okay. And if your recommendations that be done were done, would you say then that BPL could proceed along those lines without causing serious problems for the amateur radio operators?
Based on what we've observed in the field,
right,
that would reduce the probability of interference to the point where it could be reasonably dealt with on a case-by-case basis.
Okay. Now, would that involve notching out certain frequencies?
That could certainly be part of the solution, yes.
What have you found in your recent studies and news that comes over your desk? The situation is in the various locales where there have been issues about radio interference. Where are things generally or specifically in some of those areas? For example, in Westchester County, New York. What's going on up there?
We're continuing to find interference when we go out. Unfortunately, the pattern that has developed is that a complaint will be filed with the BPL system operator.
Right.
And there won't be a timely response to it to the complainant.
Right.
So the complainant goes to the FCC and says, hey, I've got this interference problem. And the FCC sits on it for a while and then inquires of the system operator and maybe even sends an engineer out to make some measurements of their own.
Right.
But when they do that, they're not not consulting with the complainant. In other words, they're not showing up saying, okay, you've complained about this interference, show us what you're complaining about.
Right.
They don't do that. They just go out and make their own measurements and observations without ever checking with the complainant.
And are you finding that they do it under conditions or circumstances or in ways that end up giving them results so that they say, oh, everything's okay, whereas your studies have shown they weren't and you don't have a chance to talk to them about it?
That pretty much summarizes the situation, yes.
Okay.
In some cases, the interference that was originally complained about has in fact been cleaned up, but in the process there's something new that pops up, and because there is not a on-site consultation with the complainant, we never actually reach a consensus that yes, indeed, the problem has been solved.
Okay, let me pull back a little bit and get your take on some related issues. The argument is made by some people who want BPL that amateur radio is an antiquated, useless technology, and people who are having their amateur radio transmissions interfered with should get over it. The tsunami that happened recently testified to the opposite of that, didn't it? And what was the reaction of amateur radio operators around the world to the tsunami, and what was the role they played in dealing with it?
Well, there were amateurs throughout South Asia who were on site when the tsunami hit, and they were able to maintain communications even when regular communications went out, particularly in India and Sri Lanka.
Right.
There were links that were running for matters of days and weeks afterwards, handling official as well as unofficial communications.
So what does that tell you about the argument that amateur radio is an antiquated and useless technology?
Well, of course, we've never bought that argument. Okay. It's kind of beside the point, because licensed radio services, of which the amateur services is just one,
right,
are absolutely entitled to protection from harmful interference from unlicensed sources. And that's not a matter of FCC regulation alone. That's a matter of the Communications Act. It's a matter of the ITU radio regulations, which have the force and effect of a treaty. So that's not something the FCC could change, even if they wanted to, and they don't want to.
Okay. What generally do you see as the effect of collectivity of the complaints that have been leveled against BPL operators? Is it seriously cutting into the likelihood that the systems using BPL will be rolled out, or has it been a real influence in the discussion so far, do you think?
Well, I think that it has significantly influenced the discussion. You don't hear discussions of BPL without the interference issue being raised.
Right. Now, I just got a press release from UTC, the United Telecom Council, which is a big supporter, where I'm going to interview some people there soon, and they're pointing to a new report from the New Millennium Research Council, and while ballyhooing BPL, they do speak several times about interference issues and essentially try to, I don't want to say paper them over, but make it seem like they're negligible and manageable.
Well, I've read the NMRC report. I listened to the entire conference where they introduced it.
Okay.
I found, first of all, the report acknowledges that within about 150 meters of power lines, interference is a significant issue. If amateur radio stations were always located more than several hundred feet from a power line, we probably wouldn't be too worried. But the fact is, of course, that power lines run right along the streets that we drive on. They run right into the houses that we operate from, and so it has to be a concern to us.
So essentially, you're saying that again, they're presenting data which, properly considered, means that there is a problem.
I think that any fair reading of the New Millennium report would conclude that interference remains an issue. One of the four panelists that they had was Professor Robert Olson from Washington State University.
Right.
And Professor Olson spoke at some length and very clearly about the interference problem I thought he did a very good job of representing the concerns.
Okay, let me.
He referred to the interference as being the wild card in the question of whether BPL could in fact be deployed.
Okay, let's wrap up by talking about the administrative procedures and maybe just a little bit about the politics of all this. The ARRL filed its papers on the 7th of February. Were they released on the web along with the other ones yesterday?
No, they haven't been put on public notice by the commission yet.
Are they planning on it? Is that a technical or
issue? Assume they are. We know that they received it on time. We have the time-stamped receipt, so we don't actually know why it wasn't included in the public notice, but I'm sure it will be.
Okay, now, in the next 2 weeks, you'll be entitled to respond to comments made by others, and others will be able to respond to the comments that you made?
Right.
And then at the end of that period, what happens?
Then there's, I believe, another 10-day period for replies to the oppositions.
Oh, okay. So it's a rebuttal and a re-rebuttal and a re-re-rebuttal,
Right.
essentially.
One thing that we should mention is that a lot of our petition for reconsideration is an analysis of the FCC's technical studies of BPL, which were not released until after the commission had acted
Right.
on the report and order. In other words, we were not able to review the commission's technical studies until after the fact.
And having reviewed them, what new information or point of view did they generate for you?
Well, the interesting thing to us is that the raw technical data bears out what we've been saying all along, that interference is a problem.
Okay.
And it's difficult to see how the commission could have taken notice of its own technical studies and come to the conclusion that it did.
Okay, now Michael Powell has resigned his position. Do you think you have a candidate you like to see? Do you expect that someone will be appointed soon and take over the job? And whether that will make much difference in the attitude of the FCC to the interference problem?
Well, in principle, we'd like to see a commissioner with a technical background
Right.
as opposed to a background in law or economics.
Okay.
But that's not a litmus test. I'm not suggesting that we would oppose candidates who lack the technical background.
Does the
It's just kind of on the top of our wish list is having a commissioner that understands decibels.
Right. Does the new FCC chairman need to be approved by this confirmed by the Senate? Do you know?
New commissioners are, yes.
And
The chairman, well, the chairman will either be one of the present Republican commissioners, or it will be a new appointee.
if it's a sitting commissioner, they don't need to be recertified,
Not
presumably, to
as
become chair.
commissioner. I'm not actually sure about chairman,
Okay.
but I'm sure it would be pro forma in any case.
Would ARRL be there to testify, depending on who's appointed,
It
if there are
hasn't
hearings?
been high on our list
Okay.
of things to do in the past.
All right.
I guess we would consider it.
Okay. What do you expect is going to happen next, and how do you think this issue is going to be resolved? Is it going to be resolved on technical criteria, administrative criteria, political criteria? Do you think that this needs to be resolved before BPL can move forward, or can the BPL proponents move forward and ignore ARRL and its complaints?
Well, the danger if they move forward without taking interference adequately into account is that it's going to be very expensive for them to deal with it after the fact.
Okay, and
They will have to deal with it one way or the other.
it,
If there's interference, they have to fix it. There's no question about that.
it, is it what's your expectation, what's your reading of the people who are going to be making these decisions? Is it going to be made by individual communities, or and is that where you're organizing, or is it going to be made on the national level, and that's where you're organizing?
I don't see it being made on the national level because the power utilities are so fractionated around the country. I believe if you look at the top 50 metropolitan areas in the country, you have 40 different power companies.
Okay. Does that play to the advantage of your group as one that has members everywhere?
Well, we do have members everywhere, and they are geared up to address this as interference develops. But again, our opposition, we're not opposed to BPL per se. What
Right.
we're opposed to is the interference.
Right.
And if somebody could figure out how to do BPL without interfering with radio, that'd be fine. Where
Do you have your scientists on your side trying to figure out a way to do that?
well,
Or are the laws of physics too
the
unalterable to solve the problem?
Physics works against it. And the problem is that the if you put RF energy on a power line, it will, some of it will radiate. There's no way of avoiding that.
Right.
And so it becomes a matter of whose ox do you gore.
Right.
If you put it only on buried lines and notch all of the amateur radio frequencies, you could probably get away with it in many places. But you would be causing other problems for shortwave listeners and possibly others if you're up in the low-band VHF range in some parts of the country that is still very heavily used by first responders, by volunteer fire departments, and so on.
As a general proposition, do cellular and Wi-Fi and WiMAX transmissions interfere much with amateur radio operations?
Cell phones, not at all, because they're on different frequencies.
Right. What about Wi-Fi or WiMAX?
Wi-Fi actually is an interesting case because some of the frequency range used by Wi-Fi is in fact an amateur radio allocation. But when you get up to those frequencies, the distances you're talking about are fairly limited.
Right.
It hasn't been a major problem to this point.
Can you say anything about WiMAX and other long and EVDO that are longer range means of sending internet through
WiMAX,
the air?
As I understand it, the WiMAX definition at this point is quite flexible with regard to frequency, and so
right.
It would depend on the choice of frequencies. In general, though, I think it can be said that the interference potential is less there simply because of the nature of the frequencies in use.
Okay.
The problem with the basic problem with access BPL, as the FCC has defined it, is it uses the very part of the radio spectrum that uniquely provides worldwide coverage without any infrastructure whatsoever.
And there's no way to send internet through power lines using frequencies that aren't in that range?
Well, there's a company in Santa Rosa, California that feels they do have a way of doing it called Corridor Systems.
Right.
They use microwave frequencies, and they use the power line as a transmission line, as a guided wave transmission line.
Right.
So that's a whole different ball game.
But have you looked at that corridor company's technology, and do you agree that it doesn't interfere with?
From an interference standpoint, I believe they're correct. I can't speak to the practicality of the technique in real world power lines. That's just not our area of competence. But in terms of interference potential, yes, they're right. There's very little interference potential from their system.
Do you know if the BPL industry generally considers that corridor technology a viable alternative to what they're doing now and might adopt it? Would that fit in with their plans?
I don't know. I think at this point what you have is everybody touting their own homegrown technology.
Right. But in fact, if interference becomes a even more crucial issue, it would mean that the corridor system would bear closer scrutiny and more attention, perhaps?
I would think so. Certainly, at some point, it's going to dawn on people who are looking to install BPL systems that the interference potential of a hardware manufacturer's product is an important consideration.
And are those certified by someone, or bring us back to the beginning here? And is the FCC responsible for approving the equipment or certifying it as to its radio interference potential?
Well, it's subject to verification, to certification, which means that there are measurements that need to be conducted on the equipment. It's not just a matter of the manufacturer saying yes, we comply. They have to actually do the measurements.
And does the FCC or another agency have to certify it before it can be sold or used?
That's Well, I guess the short answer to that is yes, but it's a little more complicated than that.
Okay.
The commission doesn't do its own independent testing.
But some other agency does the testing?
Basically, the manufacturer is responsible for having the testing done.
Oh, okay, and they submit data to the FCC?
Yes.
And right. Then the FCC needs to give it some sort of imprimatur before the systems can be deployed for
right.
the hardware?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I want to thank you very much for talking to us. I think you've given us a lot to think about in this area. It's a little confusing. It's a little vague in a lot of areas, and so it'll bear further scrutiny and attention in the future, and I hope we can talk to you about it after. You're essentially saying after March 15th there'll be some movement one way or another, or more results? Or
well, later in the month we'll see the oppositions to the petitions for reconsideration. It will then take some time before the FCC acts on the petitions itself. And realistically, do we expect dramatic changes in the commission's rules as a result of the reconsideration petitions? Probably not.
Okay,
so we're probably looking to Court of Appeals before all the dust settles.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that when we get there and cut through the dust and see what we can find.
Okay, thank you, Mark.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye.